the passion for us is giving people an opportunity to get into this industry. But once they're in, giving them real industry-led qualifications, not just what that training provider has promised that you will get, and you'll walk out of that. Once you've done 12 months, you're going to be on an X amount of pounds. That just does not happen.
Welcome to the MSS Network, your number one source of information for MSSPs, MSPs, and security architects.
Understanding the balance between on-the-job training and formal training to build tomorrow's MSP. Today, we're delighted to welcome Glenn Sanger, co-founder for Bunker. How are you doing, Glenn?
Very well, Fleming. Very good, thank you. Yeah, thanks for the intro. Yeah, doing pretty well for a Wednesday. Sun is sort of shining. It's been raining nonstop for months, it feels like, in London, but all good here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's the time of year, but it was lovely to see you one rainy day the other week in person. And I think a lot of what we were talking about at an event will come out during this session, because we're looking at the balance between on-the-job training and formal training, you know, apprenticeships versus training courses. I think very timely topic given the skills gap, or at least the inability to recruit in some areas. What's the problem we're trying to solve with this dynamic?
Yeah, I think for us as an MSP, we're always short of a well-rounded skill set. You know, the MSP industry, we're kind of labelled as a jack of all trades, really. So we've got to be proficient in cybersecurity. We've got to be proficient in infrastructure. We've got to be proficient in cloud computing. Then there's a spin-off to DBA type work. So it then becomes all encumbersome. So the skills gap is, we kind of know a lot about a lot of different things, but we're not specialised in any particular way. So what we're finding is that skill set of being well-rounded, you're quite desirable in the marketplace. So everyone seems to be headhunted on LinkedIn these days. You've only got to put up a profile and somebody will contact you and offer you the greatest job in the world. And everyone in the MSP industry is kind of grabbing people as quickly as they can without that underpinned knowledge, really. So that's the kind of gap that we're seeing as we trying to recruit and trying to grow our business.
Understood. No, it's a common challenge. But what about you? Obviously, we're very pleased to have you on, but where does your passion for this come from?
Yeah, so it comes back from me being an IT apprentice. So I was 17, not doing particularly well in my A-levels at school, kind of a bit of a crossroads where the school were like, you're not really going to get your grades that you need. Mother at home was pretty mortified and told me, right, this is it. You either go and find a job, an apprenticeship, or you're not living in my house, which is kind of the kick I need, I guess, back in 1994 now. So 30 years ago. I was fortunate enough to find a very local IT apprenticeship, which was thrown in at the deep end, basically driving around central London in a beat-up van, going around fixing printers, big CRT monitors, basically anything that was loosely a computer, and swapping out parts. But I loved it. Fixing things, I guess, was the bit of a hero kind of culture back then. So that kind of throwing into the deep end, no real formal training, I guess, back in the day, other than buddying up with senior technicians, kind of really threw me into that technical world. But yeah, it was just fixing stuff, I think, which is a lot of MSP kind of people have been in it a long time, have that superhero kind of feel that they can fix stuff. It's moved on greatly since then, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of where my passion for learning, giving people an opportunity, and creating well-rounded technical engineers has come from.
Fantastic. And I guess no MSP or no one in the community would be completely unfamiliar with an apprenticeship, but for those not quite yet there, what are we talking about? What should they better understand about this apprenticeship? Is it literally shadow the person doing things, or is there something more to it?
Yeah, I think certainly since we formed in 2010, we've made a point of hiring apprentices over the last sort of 13, 14 years. Typically, we've hired one or two a year, and the way it's done at the moment is you go through a training provider. I try not to speak too negatively of that approach, but if you'd have told me that I'd have to spend a lot of time back when I was 17 in a classroom learning theory, well, that's kind of what I was no good at, and that's what I wanted to get away from. So what we're finding is that when the apprentices are with us and they're learning day to day and they're shadowing, as you say, the more sort of senior resource, they're learning far, far more than they were hunched over a textbook in a big classroom, learning the theory of what would happen if they are in the workplace, rather than actually, well, this is what it's like in the coalface. This is what it's like to come up against something that's not working, or these are the soft skills that you don't get in a classroom. You're learning how to talk to clients, you're learning how to write reports or write proposals around winning new work. So there's a, like I said, that's what we're finding that the apprentices are missing out on. And when they come to us, they're saying to us, yeah, I didn't really learn anything in that 2 week, 3 week I was back in the classroom. I much prefer being out with the engineers. I much prefer being in the office. I'm learning far more than I would. And then when it comes to evaluating their coursework with their tutor, the tutor says the same thing. So we kind of want to remove that part from the training company, but apprentices being the way they are, that's a difficult piece. But I think they're walking out of there with accreditations that are really not relevant.
I guess it's a tough one because if you want to have a formalized scheme, they need something formal, and yet they need to learn, and they need to learn on the job. I remember in my own career, we started and everyone had to do Excel macro training. Nobody needed Excel macros, but they said, well, in the future you might need them. And by the time we needed them, we couldn't remember them. So does this speak a lot more to, just learning as you encounter problems, the sort of the true mindset of an engineer.
100%. I mean, you know this from your background. I mean, things change constantly in this world we're in. So you have to have that mindset, that logical approach to things, and actually want to get under the hood of actually how does things work. I think learn, or just telling people you're creating the next generation of industry professionals that are learning stuff out of textbooks, or reading stuff online, or they've got to submit, reams and reams of coursework. I mean, I just cannot see that that is a good approach. So it's practical, hands-on experience, soft skills. IT has moved far away from break fix. We are consultancies now, so we are working with businesses day in, day out. How can we improve them? How do we improve their operational flow? How do we improve them, involve them technically? You've got to be able to talk to them. You've got to be able to sit with them and understand where their issues lie, not just here. Hey, I'm here to fix your laptop. That stuff's dying out. So I think for us, it's finding those well-groomed individuals that can kind of understand under the hood, what a thing, how do things work, but how do we make things better? How do we improve? I think that's where you can make a real difference.
And to make that difference, who within the MSP is best placed to do it? I mean, there's only one or two leaders, I suppose. Maybe there's a leadership team, but who should be doing this coaching and training within the organization?
Yeah, I think it's a culture thing. I really do. I think it comes from myself and Tom. We were, like I said, we were IT apprentices. We have a passion for technology, but a passion for the next generation that are coming through. We're parents, so we understand the pitfalls of trying to find work. And when you're young and you're coming out of school, you have no real idea about what you do. But I think that passion for the industry has got to run through your business. Yes, we all want to make money and buy new things, all that type of stuff, but it's if you're not enjoying your day-to-day work, you're not going to achieve anything. So you've got to start there. And that culture is pushed through our management team, pushed through our engineers. We've still got three apprentices that we've hired over the years. One's been with us 8 years, She's now our service delivery manager. We've got two senior technical resources that have been with us since they were sort of 19. They've been with us over 7 years. Finding and keeping those individuals is key to it. So they are then training the next generation, because they were those 18, 19-year-olds fresh out of school, didn't know what they want to do. And they've built this career within Bunker that they're now kind of the leading lights and the leading examples for us as a business. So yeah, that culture is key for us. And that helps with retaining as well, that they've done that path, they've done that journey.
So do you think, actually, far from this being a better way, is it maybe the only way? Because you know one MSP, you know one MSP. Each MSP has cultural differences, has slight nuances. Isn't this how it always should be, that we take people in afresh and we develop them in-house? There couldn't possibly be some sort of certification that said, right, you're ready to go, in you go. It's always got to be about coaching and apprenticeships, hasn't it?
I think so, most definitely. And it's practical experience and it's practical qualification. So things like the Kaseya University, I know we touched upon that before when we met. There's some really great training materials on there and real industry relevant qualifications. So they take you through a product, for instance, like RMM, remote monitoring. So you can learn that product inside out. You can sit through all the training material. You can actually see it in action. You can use it. You can use it in the terms of speaking to a client and resolving their issue for them and talking them through what's happened. And then at the back of that, you're working towards a qualification in that product. So that's the kind of full circle model that we really like, as well as being Microsoft partners. We have access to the Microsoft Learning platforms that are, again, real industry-led qualifications. So for me, doing that side of things is far more important than coming out of a training provider and getting your level 3 or your BTEC or whatever, that really is just not relevant. So, every MSP I speak to, they say recruitment is the big issue. We're finding that we should be training up people internally. If they want to move on, then fantastic. That's a great thing. And crudely, they'll move on perhaps to another business that may want to use Bunker in the future. So it's all part of that process that we're finding. But I think for us, really, the passion for us is giving people an opportunity to get into this industry. But once they're in, giving them real industry-led qualifications, not just what that training provider has promised that you will get, and you'll walk out of that. Once you've done 12 months, you're going to be on an X amount of pounds. That just does not happen. They're selling this dream, and I think that's why people are turning away from it.
And that's a shame, because when we hear about skills gaps, and people band about numbers globally. Oh, cybersecurity, for example, is missing so many millions of people. I think they're not quite getting that that's a very broad spectrum, from marketing personnel through to engineers and DevSecOps. It's very broad. Mm. But I'd be interested, maybe, in the less successful applicants coming to an MSP such as yours. Are there any coming with, other qualifications and saying, look at this, I am ready, but maybe they're not? I think that might be a nice angle to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've taken people in the past that have no IT experience. As I mentioned, one of the apprentices that's been with us over 8 years. She was working on a customer desk at one of the largest airports in the UK. So great customer services experience. Knew how to talk to clients. Knew how to talk to irate passengers. But because she had that kind of core customer service knowledge, she was very calm, very eloquent. So she knew that side of things. Those soft skills were already there. So then we could focus on, well, what the technical aspects can you help us with? So service desk was really made for her. So those are the types of things. So that I think, the skills gap, everyone's got skills. It doesn't matter what they are. That there's always a crossover somewhere that we can find in technology that's going to help. And as I said, technology has changed from break fix. There's so many different avenues to it. cybersecurity, you've got to have a real kind of analytic mind, looking at raw data, looking at trends, looking at patterns. You've got to be able to research. You've got to be able to kind of pivot and understand things when they're in urgent and drop things and be very agile. So there's lots of different things there that someone could pick up quite easily with some support, with some real on the job training. I mean, I liken it to, trying to get into to be a mechanic back in the day. You're not going to learn a great deal out of one of those manuals. You might learn some of the pretty pictures and how to put things together, but unless you get an oil on your hands, you're not going to be able to fix that engine. So there's real practical things that you're going to need, and I think you get that through our schemes, through things we're looking at improving for ourselves. I just see that as a real smarter way to get to where you need to get to.
And so maybe conversely, we're looking at apprenticeships and structured unstructured learning and on the job training. With the evolution of a lot of the RMM tools and suites of tools, where any new service could just be included in such a bundle, what retraining or additional training have you seen necessary for existing staff, maybe over the last 5 years? Is there anything that sort of came up and said, oh, now we need to offer X, and that means Y?
Yeah, I think for us, the big one, obviously, you touched upon it earlier, with cybersecurity. I mean, that's pretty much all we're talking to our clients about at the moment. It's very similar to years and years ago, the kind of BlackBerry device when you had email, which is all encrypted and very secure. And then the age of the smartphone, it was like, well, I don't want to secure anything anymore. I just want email quickly. I want it on my new smartphone. So kind of that security thing just kind of disappeared. And then it all had to be secure again. It's kind of like, the cat was out of the bag with all this data everywhere and everyone had access to everything. Whereas now it's kind of gone back the other way, which is, wow, actually, no, there's a real risk here. We need to, everything needs to be secure. There's some risk analysis that needs to be done. So we're finding that we've had to pivot as a business, really, and to move away from that break fix kind of 5, 6 years ago, which we were, to becoming more of a leader in cybersecurity and cybersecurity products. What actually do you need to run this organization? What can help it become more secure? There's lots of legislation out there now that companies are facing when they go to work with certain organizations. So things like the Cyber Essentials and Cyber Essentials Plus has become key to it. ISO has been around for many, many years, but those are all the things that we've been educating our clients in, particularly in the world we've been since COVID, access from anywhere, at any time, 24/7. So as a bog standard 9 to 5:30 business, you're not going to survive if that's all you're offering. So we've had to train our guys up into new products, new cybersecurity world that we're living in, and working in partnership with companies like Kaseya have really, really helped us, and particularly that learning element. So that's how we've trained our guys to be more proficient in those kind of products. So that's been a real challenge for us, but one we've thrived and one we're really helping our clients understand it more. It's more of an education piece as well. They've got to be more understanding of where their data is, who's got access to it, what link is that on that email? Should I click that? A lot of people look after their money very well on banking. You wouldn't think nothing of multi-factor authentication, triple factors these days. So whereas as an employee, you should be quite protective of your company's data. Ultimately, that's where your money comes from because they're employing you as a business. So you've got to look after them the same way you'd look after your own personal data. So that educational piece has been really good for us. Phishing simulations have been a big thing. That's getting smarter and smarter. One thing we've come across recently, which has really worried us, is we work with a lot of recruitment companies, and there's this huge uprise in recruitment scams, and there's a real kind of led to that emotional pull. Like you'll get a WhatsApp message saying, "Hey Glenn, you've got a great opportunity here with I'm from such and such recruitment agency. I think you're perfect for this role, but you've got to do a CRB check, or you've got to send me a little bit of money to do a background check on you. And people are fed into that. And that's a real, real concern, because there's not much you can do about that at the moment. So that needs to be an educational piece rather than a product led stopping that. That's actually becoming more au fait of, well, who's that person contacting me? I've never heard of them before. Let me phone them, not just text message. People don't like talking to people anymore, do they? So they, everything is kind of done on text or WhatsApp. So that part of it is real and relevant. So we've had to keep up to date with that type of stuff as well, which is kind of outside of our normal infrastructure that we look after. But again, it's just educating clients, educating people that are out there to say, keep an eye on those types of things, because that's what they're after. They're after your data.
And that's a really an interesting way to look at it, the holistic skill set. And you mentioned recruiters, and actually, I don't know if, you know, you need so many recruiters for your entry level positions, given that you're going to have to train them from zero to hero. So maybe that's another good approach, because an entry level apprentice, you can't afford to spend a great amount of money on a recruiter recruiting them. Because given that you're going to have to do the legwork to create this new professional, I think that speaks more to in-house recruitment and the virtue of apprenticeships. I don't know. Do you think there should be a sort of a cutoff and say, do you know what? For new recruits, for an MSP, it's got to come from us, the MSP.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's so competitive. These training providers seem to gobble up young 16 to 18s, just left school, want to get into technology. They promise them a high salary after sort of 18, 24 months. If you complete your training, we'll find you a position with they don't particularly say an MSP, but with any business out there, without really knowing them. Without really understanding, is that the right thing for them? Then they take, you know, they take a cut from the government to fund that training. They take a cut from any future recruitment fees. They also take money from the employer as well. So there's a lot of things that they're doing that I just don't agree with. But recruitment companies out there, there are some fantastic ones that really care about the individual. There are some that really, really don't. There are lots that really, really don't. I worked in recruitment companies running IT departments for many, many years and sort of seen it from the other side. So there are two sides to every story, obviously. But yeah, I think because it's such a waste of money, recruiting, a waste of everybody's time. And if we can come up with a model where we are able to train the next generation of workforce, particularly in the MSP industry, where you need that well-rounded individual, and you can give them access and exposure to many, many different avenues and different products and different industries. MSPs particularly work with lots and lots of different industries. Then you really cut out the need for those big commissions, those recruitment fees. And ultimately, you care more about the individual because you spend time with them. You can vouch for them. You can say, well, this guy's worked for me for 2-3 years. People move on. That's the world we live in, absolutely. But I think we've got a real opportunity to make a bit of a difference here.
And in doing that, and I'm totally with you on the recruitment side, but in doing that, what's the entry level job? Because we see presentations around the world from SaaS providers and tools saying, I will eliminate all, you know, SOC 1 analyst roles with my new super widget. Okay, but then what's the entry level role that we're trying to make them apprentice of?
Yeah, I think particularly in the MSP world, which is where we are, I guess, that entry level role is, they have lines. They call them first line. That's your entry level role. You're kind of there as the, you know, taking an initial issue, a ticket, for instance, and popping that on your service desk. So that initial call from a client, I can't print. I forgot my password. I can't log in. Those types of things. So that typically that is your entry level. And typically with MSPs, what we're finding was we don't do this ourselves, but people I speak to, they kind of get stuck in that first line role for 18 months, and then they get bored and they're not allowed to move up the chain, so because they're restricted, and then they leave. It's a madness because they've got 18 months worth of knowledge about your organization, about your clients. They've obviously done a good job because you've kept them on first line, and you don't want to lose them from that. But it's this understanding that you're not upskilling that individual. You're not allowing them to evolve. So if you're not allowing them to sit with someone more senior, to be involved with projects, we say it all the time here. If there's a project to be done, you've got to involve the first line people. You've got to involve the apprentices, because ultimately, if a project goes wrong or there's fallout from that project, tickets will evolve from that or service issues. They need to understand what the project was, how it was put together. If it's a my cloud migration, for instance, they'll need to understand the ins and outs of it. They're not necessarily doing the technical work behind the scenes or the more higher level stuff, but they will be dealing with the client. They're at the coal face of that. They've got the rapport with the client because they've been talking to them because of their first line kind of role and on those soft skills. So that entry level role is there for a reason, but you've got to upskill those individuals very, very quickly. Otherwise, they're going to leave you.
So, how do we make it more juicy? And how do we make it more juicy when more tools are coming through the pipeline saying, I'm going to automate everything. Now, we don't want them to automate everything because, like, that, well, then what is it that that they're automating? How can we make it more juicy for these apprentices?
Yeah, well, that's on the automation. There's some great tools out there. We're looking at them all the time for our service desk. Is how do we ultimately make ourselves more efficient? I mean, we're not looking to replace people by just doing kind of AI everywhere. People still like to talk to people. People have tried it in the past by outsourcing everything internally. Ultimately, it backfires. There's been many tales of outsourcing to all manner of different businesses over the years, and it really just does not work. You lose that personal touch. And I think for the MSP industry, I think Fred mentioned it on Vakola mentioned it on one of his talks, is guys, you're an MSP, but you're dealing with more businesses than we ever deal with nowadays. So you've got to be able to converse with these organizations. So making it more juicy, well, there's because of the products, because of the development in cybersecurity products, pen testing, vulnerability scanning, phishing simulations, there's so many different products you can hang your hat on, become product champions is what we like internally. So if you've got a, you're not going to know straight away what you want to get into. You're not going to, because you've come in as an entry level. For instance, let's take you through that journey. So you're sat on a service desk for a few months, you're shadowing, you're learning how to converse, you're learning how to be part of the team and how to talk to clients. But ultimately, there's going to be a little fire in your belly that says, actually, I really like doing pen testing, and I really like looking at the reports after. And then you kind of, okay, well, we can see you've got that passion for it. We'll make you more of a product champion for that pen testing product, so that you can get involved with different areas. You're going to lead that, so we can then talk to clients and say, look, we've got a pen testing expert internally. They're going to come out, they're going to help you go through this kind of project. I just think there's so much exposure to clients, to product. You're going to find something when you're on that journey that you're going to have a real passion for. And it's being able to make, nobody likes it, being able to make mistakes as you go, but being comfortable to be able to do that. Jeez, we all make mistakes. I make them every day. So it's having that environment where you're allowed to do that, and owning up to stuff. Look, holding your hands up. Christ, I remember when I was an apprentice and of course, deleted some very very important data one day at a client's because I was doing some housekeeping on some file servers, and quickly knew that I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have clicked that button, and just went and told my senior straight away, I think I've done something stupid, can you help me out here? And it's like, yeah, look, Glenn, there's a recycle bin there. We can restore back from that. This was before I knew that side of things. And you think, Christ, if I hadn't have said anything and it had been over that kind of criteria where recycle bins get nuked, I could have been in real trouble. So it's knowing that apprenticeship journey, which we do, knowing those pitfalls, which we do, helping them evolve technically, helping them evolve as professionals, but creating that environment where it's safe for them to make mistakes, because they will make mistakes. It's helping them evolve from that.
That's a very fair way to do it, and also a good way to keep staff morale. I like that. So, going forward, what is coming down the pipeline? What should we expect from Bunker? Obviously, we'll see these new apprentices, you know, hopefully, you know. But what's coming next?
Yeah, I think for us, as a business, we're looking to evolve more digitally, like most organizations out there. We've got a huge focus on cybersecurity. We're doing a lot of work in retail at the moment, so we're looking at more sort of product-based solutions. As I said, from our retail kind of clients, we're doing a lot more work in sort of payment solutions and that type of stuff. So we're growing quite quickly on that side. And because we're growing quickly on that side of things, a lot of those payment solutions require more hands-on work, assembling the product, maintaining it, installing it, and doing rollouts of it. So I think we've got a steady stream of apprentices that we can put into more practical type work, as well as evolving them on the cybersecurity side and that stack. Yeah, it's a competitive market. But I think what sets us apart is we've got a real kind of passion for it, and we're trying to make a real difference in the people we employ and make them, I guess, kind of almost sounds silly, but make them less technical and more kind of partnering with businesses and involving them technically, not just being that kind of guy that sat in a corner and doesn't talk to anybody and just fixes stuff. That's what we've moved away from that over the last 4, 5, 6 years. So yeah, I think that's the areas of growth that we're looking at.
Fantastic. Well, we're very much looking forward to seeing the fruition and the development. And I really appreciate this sort of structured, unstructured learning topic, apprenticeships versus training providers. I think it's very, very current. And I you know, people need to be more selective where they spend their money and invest their time. So I think this will resonate a lot. All right. So, Glenn, thank you very much for coming on. It's been great looking at this topic, and this has been another fantastic edition of the MSS Network podcast.
For more MSS content, please visit mssnetwork.com.